Hello, my name is Ben.
And my name's Andrew.
And we are your hosts of the Too Vague podcast this week. One word, two hosts, stories, trivia, and video games. Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm on summer break from my day job. So
nice. You're away from the kids.
Yes. I help shepherd kids to the educational system.
Like herding cats over a bridge, as they say.
I finally figured out how best to describe my job.
Oh, okay. What's that?
I'm the Hagrid of my school.
Okay.
I'm not a full teacher. I just happen to be where all the adventures are.
Oh, so, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Helping the wayward wizards on through there. Whatever.
I don't know. Do you have a trench coat?
I don't have a trench coat.
No. Okay.
I got a variety of hoodies.
I think a hoodie is trench coat adjacent.
Yeah. I got a flat cap I like to wear.
Ah, okay.
But it's getting old. I need to upgrade my hat system.
Up your hat game.
My hat game. It's my thing. It's not just that my hair is messy in the morning and I don't want to do anything with it.
So right.
My trademark now.
You got a variety of hats?
I've got two hats. I need more. Okay. Actually, I think I have a third hat.
Okay.
That I've worn at school, but...
You know what you need? You need to get yourself a fez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Then the conversations will fly. And also the rumors, but...
I need a fez. I need a deerstalker. I need a trilby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget your toque. Don't forget your toque.
The toque.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well, you know, I got a watch cap. It's kind of like a toque, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that one.
The toque. But also, kind of related to our word this week, you are going on a trip. Is that stuff that you're planning? What's going on as far as that's concerned?
Oh my God, yeah. Planning, avoiding planning. No, my in-laws are hosting the whole family for a stay in a villa in Italy.
Oh, geez.
It's pretty amazing. So we're going to go to Italy and we're going to tack on a couple side quests on either end of the family part.
Do you have any side quests already planned?
A little bit. Yeah. We're going to spend a couple days in Rome when we get there.
Do stuff the Romans do?
We're going to do stuff the Romans do. We're going to go see the Colosseum.
Okay. I thought raping and pillaging was.
I'll have to check my notes. I didn't see that in the Lonely Planet book.
No.
But, no.
Things you must do while you're in Rome.
When you're in Rome, we're not on the Visigoth tour package. So.
Exactly. Excuse me, when's the pillaging begin?
We're going to sack Rome.
But yeah, you've got the Colosseum. You got some of the big sites.
Okay, yeah, we got some of the big sites.
Very cool.
So we're going to try to do that. Now, of course, Catherine is, let's just say, 5 months pregnant.
Uh-huh.
So
okay,
we're going to be flexible on our expectations.
Gotcha. So it's just going to be you and her and the rest of the Catherine clan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple of days is going to be me and her, and then we're going to meet up with the rest of everybody.
Okay. Your daughter's not...
No, she is. She's going to come.
Okay, that's cool.
She's going to meet up for the big thing, so...
Yeah.
And then...
Does she have her own plans, then? Is she going to be, like, She's not a teenager. She's, like, college, right?
Yeah, she's 22, so...
Oh, my gosh!
Yeah, I know. It's... Blows the mind. Yeah, so...
I remember when Scott Bakula was on Enterprise, and that was like I was out there.
Yeah, that's right.
And I saw your daughter, and she was like, I don't know, like one or two?
Something like that. Yeah. No, she's closer to one, yeah.
Time flies, man.
Yeah, that's right. And Scott Bakula was... Boy, that might have been the first season of Enterprise.
That was the first season. I think we made it a thing. It's like one time it was like, you want to catch the Enterprise on television? I was like, no, I'm going to go to Dante's Inferno with my buddy, the drummer from Alkaline Trio. And we're gonna check out all the craziness at the service industry and sex worker night.
Sin night. Ooh.
Is Dante's Inferno still around or is it closed down? I mean, it's been 20 some odd years.
Oh, no. I feel like that one might still be around.
Oh, yeah?
It's been a hard few years, you know.
Oh, yeah. A lot of places closing down, yeah.
And then, like, downtown Portland, you know, they had some trouble.
is it getting better in downtown Portland?
Yeah, it's getting better. It's just the, you know, the whole dynamic of, you know, the pandemic happened.
Right.
You know, there weren't people working in the buildings downtown. You know, the bars weren't open, so people started creating their own fun and smashing windows and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that happened and that kind of made people scared to go downtown. But
right. But it seems to be clearing up now.
It seems to be clearing up. I mean, the biggest problem is that the companies aren't shifting back from remote working. So,
yeah,
it makes it harder for the businesses that used to cater to downtown workers. So there's still some settling going on. But
that's what's going on with you these days, huh?
That's right. We're going to, yeah, I forgot our second side quest, though, after the family bit is we're going to go to Croatia for a little bit.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
And guess how we're going to get there?
Paddle boat.
We're going to take my bitchin' Camaro. we're going to go on an airplane.
Which is our word.
It's our word.
Airplane. With an exclamation point for reasons, but we'll discuss those later.
For reasons.
That's excellent. I've got some news before we get into the airplane talk.
Oh, yeah.
Planning on going to a big show in Seattle. I'm excited about that. That's going to be coming up on Labor Day, which is a little bit down the road, but I will be attending PAX this year, so I'm really excited about that. Going to be able to get to check out all the new games and maybe make some friends and possible show guests coming on, maybe doing well in there, so that's going to be exciting.
Dude, don't let me forget, because I think I know people that go to PAX sometimes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you can say...
Maybe I do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe they don't anymore. Who knows?
In any case, I mean, just put the word out on your social meds, as it were.
Social media. Yeah. I'd be like, go to PAX, hang out with Ben. And
yeah.
You could be on a podcast.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, that's, I'm still trying to work out the logistics. I've got a couple of people who are in the media industry and I'm asking them for pointers on, you know, what to do if I'm there as media as opposed to as a fan. I'm there as both, right? But
yeah,
but it's gonna be exciting. So I got my business cards already.
Nice.
I'm kind of trying to focus on that, and so that's my exciting thing. But I will also be taking an airplane. I will not be hitchhiking to Seattle. The preferred mode of transportation to PAX is the unicycle. I think. I don't know. I've been out of the game a while. Last time I went to PAX was 2019, before the pandemic. But airplanes. So
airplanes. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about airplanes. Did you do anything special to prepare for this airplane episode?
Did I do? I watched a few airplane themed movies.
Oh, funny you mentioned that, because I did the same. I watched a couple of airplane themed movies myself.
I mean, should I list what I watched?
I don't know. Do you want to do that first, or do you want to do the definition? It's your call.
Oh, the definition of airplane?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I think it's a pretty obvious one, right?
It is, but some people might not know.
Okay, okay.
I mean, we still have, like, flat earthers around. They might not realize. But they probably aren't flying on airplanes, because you can see the curvature.
Yeah. I had a person who gave me a massage once who asked me, I was like, hey, have you heard of this theory? And I was like, oh, what? And she's like, the earth is flat? And I was, like, trying to hold back a laugh. I mean, she was my massage therapist, so I didn't want to laugh at her before the massage. I don't want to be getting a crappy massage. So I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure, I mean, when you go up in an airplane, you can see the curvature of the earth from the window. So, I mean, you know. And she's like, I've never been up in an airplane before. Like, you might want to do that. Check it out.
Yeah, so maybe do that.
Have you heard of this theory? I was like,
heard of this theory.
Have you heard of this theory that the moon is made of cheese?
Is that a theory?
Has it been proven? I don't know. I've never been to the moon yet.
I think they went to the moon and proved it was made out of rocks.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
Okay, okay.
I read a book about that. No, I went to the Flandreau Planetarium, and they had little tiny pieces of the moon there.
Oh.
And it did not look like cheese.
Yeah.
It looked like rocks. But there's a lot of iron in it.
Okay.
I think it's kind of similar to the crust of the Earth.
What about that moon ice cream? Anyway,
astronaut ice cream. Oh yeah.
Who doesn't like astronaut ice cream?
Oh man, it tastes like
chalk,
non-dairy powdered creamer mixed up with strawberry powder.
Yeah, it's like strawberry quick without the sugar in it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go with the airplane definition here.
Okay.
According to the Google machine, the Ngram viewer, oddly enough, it looks like it started in print sometime around 1920s. That's kind of weird.
What, the word airplane?
Ooh. Yeah, according to Oxford and the Google Rams. Oxford and the Ngrams, that would be a great band name, I think. No?
It's right up there with Groenvault and the Flying Buttresses.
I always thought Flying Buttresses was a wonderful, I mean, it's just like, it's a great image, the Flying Buttress.
Yeah, the Flying Buttress, yeah.
The definition, according to Oxford, noun, airplane, a powered flying vehicle with fixed wings and a weight greater than that of the air it displaces.
Yeah, that's
good. Yep.
Right.
That is it. So it's a simple definition. I click on the show more and it doesn't show me any origin or anything, but I mean, I think we all know.
Basically, if you don't know what an airplane is.
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure that you knew that it's not the same thing as an airship or dirigible.
Dirigible, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
North American, it says. Did you ever get into like the history of the airplane when you were younger? Did you ever go to the Pima Air Museum? Because that has some pretty cool, interesting stuff.
Yeah, I went out there. Yeah. Yeah. All the
Boneyard. The Boneyard tour. There.
Yep. All those mothballed World War II fighters and stuff.
Which they use for replacement parts.
Yeah.
What is the first thing you think of when you think of the word airplane?
I think Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah. I think people of a certain age or generation would automatically think of Leslie Nielsen, Zucker, Abram Zucker.
Yeah.
When they hear the word airplane.
Peter Graves saying, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Yes. I don't. Okay. So, you ever seen movies about gladiators?
Yeah.
Apparently during the filming of that, he had no idea. I mean, it's just like,
he just thought these were like total just bonkers questions.
Yeah. Maybe now's the time to get into it. I watched the movie Zero Hour
mm-hmm.
as a preparation thing because that is the movie. It is Airplane.
It's Airplane. Yeah.
It's called Zero Hour with an exclamation point. So that's probably why they put the exclamation point at the end of Airplane is my guess.
Probably. Possibly, yeah.
One of the characters in there, the pilot, played by a football star, Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch, plays Captain Bill Wilson, the pilot.
Ah.
He does some things that are kind of, I mean, I think that was the joke, was he like, he puts the arm around the little boy and he looks at him weird and stuff. So I think that might have been.
So there's some jokes specific about the source material.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there was the one where the doctor says, can you face some uncertain facts? And then she goes, no. There was exactly that same scene, but she doesn't say no. She says, I think it can. Yeah. But for the most part, I mean, there are lines in there. If you see Zero Hour, which was a 1957 movie, and it was produced and released by Paramount, so there was no sort of mm-hmm. copyright infringement or anything like that. They just...
Yeah, because Paramount made Airplane, so...
Yep.
It was all in-house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to watch that, to see the movie that made Airplane. Zero Hour, 1957 drama film, directed by Hall Bartlett. I don't think I've ever met someone named Hall.
H-A-L-L?
Yeah. Hall Bartlett.
Okay.
An American film producer, director, and screenwriter. But it's based off of a Canadian television play called Flight into Danger. So anyway, that's where Zero Hour exclamation point came from. But also right. the characters, Ted Stryker,
yeah.
Is actually the name of the character.
Right.
He actually goes home. You see him go home and see the letter and then go to the airport and gets his flashbacks. There's this really sort of long explanation from a narrator of what happened to Ted Stryker before the movie, as far as, you know, his war record and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Dr. Strangelove?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen that a few times. Yeah.
You know the precious bodily fluids guy?
Yeah.
That guy is in Zero Hour.
Oh.
He is the Robert Stack equivalent. He's the guy who...
Okay.
Sterling Hayden is that actor's name. As right. Captain Martin Trelevin. And he is basically that guy. You got to talk him right down to the ground. But all I could think of during that movie was... We've got to protect our precious bodily fluids. Every time he appeared on screen, I was just like,
purity of essence. Yeah.
Another movie featuring airplanes, Dr. Strangelove, but.
Yeah, that's true.
Riding the bomb down or whatever.
One of the whole main arcs in that. It takes place on a bomber. Yeah.
Yep. So if you watch Zero Hour, you can pick the pieces of the script that are identical.
Yeah.
Even down to saying that. You know, they're flying on instruments. Same thing, you know. Although not with the jokes, but it's just like there's so many lines that are exactly the same in each movie, but different tones, different movies.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You know, looking at it without having seen that movie, you're like, oh, there's like this loose plot that they string a lot of gags on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's entertaining, but then you know, there's the part that, you know, Ted Stryker is all traumatized from this thing that happened in the war when he was a pilot. And then you're like, which war?
It doesn't really specify.
The way he's talking about it, the footage, you know, they put stock footage from World War II in there. And you're like, but right. This is 1980 and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was World War II. Yeah, the Second World War, six members of the Royal Canadian Air Force Squadron. And it all takes place in Canadian airports and whatnot. So it's a Canadian sort of thing. But they can't land in Calgary because of dense fog, you know, caused by the Canadian Rockies, of course. So right. They must continue on to Vancouver. You know what? The other thing I didn't mention about Airplane, let me just go back really quick. Do you know what the rating of Airplane was, the movie rating?
The Blu-ray I got said PG, but I'm not sure about
It's PG. It was PG when it was released. Yeah. It has boobs in it.
It has boobs.
It has all sorts of like rude and I mean, right these days. I mean, it would be. And I've watched a couple of, you know, like those YouTube streamers that watch it for the first time. They're like millennials watching movies for the first time whatever. And it's just like,
I think it's interesting to see some of the jokes and like, you're like, well, what is this joke?
Yeah.
The gag where like everybody's lining up to slap the wife that's panicking.
Yeah. You
know, or like shake her around. And okay. I'm like,
is that
a scene in Zero Hour?
It is a scene in Zero Hour. Except
like, that makes sense.
Except there were only two people. It wasn't like a line of people lining up. It was, was that scene in Zero Hour. And they were like, get a hold of yourself, slap.
That makes that joke make more sense.
Gives it some context.
Now we need to like do like the simultaneous watch viewing with. They should do the split screen thing. Somebody's got to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not actually going to line up too much because, I mean,
no.
The soliloquy where she says in the airport, I can't be with a man I don't respect, that happens actually on an airplane while Joey is in the cockpit talking to the the guy who's the acting really pedophile-y, but not really.
Yeah.
Now thinking about it, maybe the crazy legs Hirsch. On some level was we got to get someone who's a sports legend. So they got Kareem. Fish is the culprit. I love that Leslie Nielsen line. It was like, yes, the passengers, they could have had the meat or the fish. Yes, I know. I had the lasagna. But I mean, that whole sequence was exactly the same, except he said, yes, I had the meat. It's entertaining just for the parallels, I think. Just watch it for to see like, oh yeah, that's where they got that from and that's where they got that from. And it made me laugh just because I was thinking of the different movie parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a good movie, I don't think, but I mean, it's one worth seeing if you're a fan of Airplane.
Right.
Leslie Nielsen kind of took off for a while after that movie, right? As far as, you know, like his Police Squad days and...
That was also Zucker, Abrams and Zucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made the TV show Police Squad.
Right. Kids out there, if you have a chance to watch it, definitely watch Police Squad because it was funny. Squad.
Funny. I think it only ran for like half a season.
It only had six episodes.
Funny. Six episodes. It was only a quarter of a season.
Yeah. The guest star would die in the opening sequence. A lot of people say that the joke a minute thing was off-putting to audiences for some reason. Mm. But I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. It was a wonderful show.
Oh my gosh. I remember one of the, you know, ending scenes of Police Squad, you know, they end it with a freeze frame, except for it wasn't actually a freeze frame, just everybody stopped moving.
Yeah.
And there's one where Leslie Nielsen's like pouring coffee and just keeps pouring and the cup overflows.
Yeah.
With a freeze frame.
Right. They had other ones with different, you know, scenarios where certain elements were actually moving around and everyone else was freeze framing too. It's like,
right.
That's not a bit that I think you could do something. Well, I mean, maybe you could every season, but there was one where there's a monkey in it and Zucker, Abram Zucker. You watched a movie to prepare.
Dude, I watched three movies.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, what did you watch, man?
I also watched Airplane 2.
Okay.
Which was not Zucker, Abrams and Zucker.
No.
They were like, we made our movie. We don't want to do this sequel. But it was more of like, let's do the same thing, but now we're going to do a little make fun of space stuff, too. So they had like some 2001 jokes. And the theme music at the beginning and the end was actually the theme music from the Battlestar Galactica TV show.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I was like, wait a minute. And then there's William Shatner's in it.
I always like the thing with the doors. Shh.
Yeah. Shh. Yeah. So, like, he really, really rips on all of the sci-fi, you know, stuff. And
yeah,
there's this one bit where he has this brilliant little soliloquy where he's just sort of like, what are all these blinking lights for? They just keep blinking on and off and random.
Blinking can and they just, flashing. And
yeah, can you just get them to blink and flash in a specific order? Work on that. And like pointing out this, yeah, just some of the stuff in the background. Just it's there to look spacey, but we don't know what it does.
Right, exactly. There's no functional reason for it. It's just blinky.
Yeah.
So what else did you watch other than Airplane 2, Electric Boogaloo?
I watched Soul Plane.
Soul Plane.
Yeah. Kevin Hart, Snoop Dogg, Tom Arnold.
And what do you have to say about it? What are you thinking?
I would just say it was eye-opening. Man. No. No, it was funny because like
the social commentary in that movie. Wow.
Yeah, the social commentary. It's fun.
Yeah.
For that. I mean, it's kind of the same plot. The pilots are incapacitated and somebody's got to land the plane. But the framing of it is Kevin Hart. I guess he started his own airline after suing an airline in the opening sequence, like his... you know, they wouldn't let him take his dog inside the plane, so his dog had to be in the hold below. And but some weird accident happened where like he got stuck on the toilet. I guess as the food poisoning thing comes into play there. So like on his first flight, he goes in the back and then he has his, you know, sonorific experience in the airplane bathroom, which is like bigger than any airplane bathroom you would ever find. It was like, there was so much room in there. I was like, what plane are you flying on?
Right.
He flushed and got suctioned to the toilet seat and couldn't get out.
Okay.
And so somebody's like, oh, well, all you got to do is do this to relieve the pressure there, and then pushes the wrong button. And so instead of releasing the pressure in the toilet, it opens up the cargo bay and everything. So you can see out the window because the bathroom has a window too. But you know, he watches his dog get sucked into the engine of the plane. So, I know, terrible. So he sues the airline and gets $100 million, and then he starts his own airline, the airline NWA.
Seriously, the airline's called NWA.
Yes. And like it's their first flight and they're going from Los Angeles to New York, and pilot is late and he's like, and he, you know, there's this thing about like how it's his cousin is like his business partner and was the guy that was in charge of hiring the pilot. He's like, "Where, man, there's only two black pilots in this country. What of them's working for Puffy?" And he's like, "How did Puffy get him?" But yeah, and then it, you know, the captain comes in, Snoop Dogg, his character fits his image, and rolling in late and stoned. You know, it has the same sort of liberties with the jokes, but from the different angle. So Airplane 2, like the security guy, is people are walking through the detector, and then if it's a woman walking through, then it shows her without her clothes on. Like, so like, oh, there's this sexualized thing. But in the NWA security line, the security folks are women. But they are like, oh, we need to take you back for an exam. You know, like they are totally doing the sort of sexual harassment angle, institutionalized thing. But, you know,
from a different perspective, right?
But they flipped it. So I'm like, well, it's the same bad jokes, but done in a different way.
Yeah.
So,
you know, yeah. Okay. I like this one. Soul Plane is like seeing an uncomfortably unfunny stand-up comedian routine acted out and stretched to a feature-length film. Is that being too harsh, you think?
No.
No?
Too harsh. But I also don't think anybody involved...
Are the bits funny? Is it comparable to Airplane?
They both take place on airplanes.
Okay, that yeah. aside.
That aside... I'm like, I'm at a loss for words. It was an experience. I mean, in a lot of ways, it was like some of the same shtick, same kind of shtick. And like, if you look at it, Airplane shtick from 1980 and then the Soul Plane shtick in 2004, it's like, well, and then you are looking at it through, like, there's another layer of, you know, race going on, like, well, this is a black perspective on this, and it is targeted to a different audience, and there's some really neat stuff with Tom Arnold and his family being like the white family that they got bumped from their original flight, and so this is the only way they can get to wherever they're going on time, and
right,
you know, Tom Arnold and his son and daughter and his girlfriend. But so there's like this whole like thing of them feeling like painfully awkward about, oh my gosh, how are we going to negotiate this situation where the different seating sections, instead of like first class and then, you know, coach, it's like high class and low class. So their seats are in low class. So it's different. And so like the low class section is kind of like a bus.
Oh, okay.
Like it's got some poles there to, you know, with the things you can hang on for standing, you know, and then like the overhead bins are like lockers.
Okay.
So you have to like put in a quarter to open it up to be able to pay stuff in. So it's like,
you know what? That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Your stuff, you gotta have it either checked, or you can't have these people coming in with their 32 bags and stuff them in the overhead bin or whatever. Yeah. You know, sometimes it can get really ridiculous. Someone coming in with a suitcase is like, oh, it fits.
No. Yeah.
So you don't think they were too heavy handed with the racial stuff, the racial humor?
I feel like I'm not.
You know what? You're right. We're not the people to judge this. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it without judging, I think.
I think that's the best way to watch anything.
I was more like, yeah, I was like, I want to see what this is about and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, feeling like, oh, that's kind of clever. And like, oh, they flip that to look at it like this. And then I'd be like, well, that's a really crude joke in any culture. And, you know, it's like,
right.
But they know it. It's like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It was a dumb movie. I mean, it was just a dumb movie. You know, it's like a regular old dumb movie. But I could see that people who feel like movies that don't cater to them might be like, hey, this is a movie that's actually making some jokes that really, and look at what Tom Arnold will feel uncomfortable. That's funny. You know?
Yeah. 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 The movie that I saw was a Samuel L. Jackson movie 2 years after The Soul Plane.
Ah.
I saw Snakes on a Plane to prepare for the show. which allegedly Samuel L. Jackson signed on to do without reading the script. Which, for better and worse, I mean, it was like, you know, him and who was it, Julia?
I did not see this movie, so I probably should have.
So you've never seen Snakes on a Plane?
No, I never saw it.
Okay. Juliana Margulies was one of the actors. Kenan Thompson was in it also.
Kenan Thompson.
Let's see who else. David Koechner was in it too. Samuel L. Jackson was probably the best actor in the thing. I mean, it was like, let's look at the tomatoometer on Snakes on a Plane. Let's see what that says, because I'm kind of curious. I know this was before Sharknado, but it's like that kind of movie where the whole premise is just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's going to testify against this crime boss in L.A., and he's flying from Hawaii to L.A. to testify. And so what someone has done is loaded the snakes onto a plane, and the lays that they're giving out, which I don't know why they're giving out the lays for people who are leaving. That doesn't make, I guess you get lays.
That doesn't make it.
Yeah. They give you lays when you leave Hawaii? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't,
who knows? But apparently the lays are sprayed with some sort of pheromone that drives the snakes crazy. So all the snakes will attack the people with the lays. Or
so much effort.
And then also the ventilation system is right underneath the lays sprayed with the stuff. So the ventilation system spreads the pheromone throughout the...
Now, if there's anything COVID's taught us...
I'm sorry, what?
It's just the thing about on airplanes, about how their filtration system's like super good that...
Oh, yeah, really, yeah, yeah.
But it's that time when you're sitting before the plane takes off.
Right.
15 minutes to a half hour to however long it takes them to get from the gate to the freaking be flying.
Right.
That's not when the air filtration system's going. So right. That's
exactly. So it
that's
feels
when
little...
you get exposed to the germ, not while you're in flight, but.
But while you're just sitting there and it's recirc.
On recirc. It's not, yeah, it's not, the full system's not on yet.
Yeah. Like, exactly. It's like being in a car with someone who's smoking.
Yeah. I mean, you're just sitting there and everybody's farting around you and it's just terrible.
Yeah. And it's just perpetuating. Know. Samuel L. Jackson, when he was sort of, I guess, criticized for doing this. He was like, listen, it's the kind of movie I would have loved as a kid. It's a cheesy kind of movie I saw in the movie theaters, these B-grade sort of things.
Yeah.
So I have no regrets in doing it. It was a fun movie, and there you go.
Yeah.
But it was horrible. It was like B-grade. It was like made for television quality kind of stuff. And I think they may have leaned into it. Film was written by David D'Alessandro, Jeff Heffernan, and Sebastian Gutierrez. Following the events of dozens of venomous snakes being released on a passenger plane in an attempt to kill the witness, whatever.
It's such a bad plan.
Yeah? It's like, we just want the airplane to go down, I guess, is all that. I mean, it was like hundreds of snakes. And they didn't use real snakes. No sort of Indiana Jones thing going on. It wasn't like they had a whole room full of snakes.
Oh yeah.
Which would have been halfway cool, I guess. It was all CGI stuff. And whenever every once in a while, here's another thing that would happen. It would go to this snake vision thing that was just all like green. So whenever you would see the perspective of the snake, like there's a baby, and then all of a sudden, you know, the baby has a rattle and is face to face with the snake, and then you'd see the snake vision. So dumb. So dumb.
Oh, warm baby.
Yeah. You talked about the dog thing.
Oh, yeah.
There was a girl who had one of these Chihuahua in her bag characters, right? Mm. For some reason, at some point, a huge boa constrictor. It somehow got into the, like, the light on the top of the plane, like, through the light. It broke, and then he fell, and the guy was trying to get back up to the top of the plane through, there was, like, a spiral staircase going up to, like, a first class area.
Oh, yeah, the lounge. Ooh, yeah.
This really arrogant prick sort of dude. he throws her dog to the boa constrictor that just eats it. And then she pushes him, and the boa constrictor, sensing the tension of between the lady and the guy, starts constricting him and eating him. So the guy who fed the dog to the boa constrictor got his just desserts, I guess. It's such a dumb movie. It was fun in how dumb it was, but
yeah,
there are video games like that where the story is so dumb, or like a premise is so silly.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about this when we get into our video game section. Oh, you have to just see it to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know where I stand on that with Snakes on a Plane, personally, because I never liked those Sharknado kind of ridiculous, like, you can say that about Tremors, but Tremors was sort of it was a fun action movie. But this one, it was just like the premise was just too ridiculous, too much.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest in seeing Snakes on a Plane?
Not a whole lot.
Oh, wow. I am surprised. Okay, so the audience score is lower than Soul Plane, 49%. But
49%.
The review score, it's fresh. It's 69%.
69%. People want to see Samuel L. Jackson.
There's some truth to that. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson being Samuel L. Jackson, just for that, it's fun. But I mean, saying that, oh man, this smells rotten. Here, smell it. It's like that kind of thing. I don't, why subject people to that if they, anyway. My last words on Snakes on a Plane.
Mm-hmm.
If you like B-grade, cheesy, ridiculous movies, something like Sharknado or something, you know, like Piranha, teetering on the parody slash horror kind of thing. Yeah, maybe seeing Snakes on a Plane will be fun if you like the actors. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't recommend it as one of the movies you have to see.
No, it's like one of those movies that you see with friends to like, let's watch this. It's going to be stupid.
Exactly.
And you have fun and, you enjoy it, and yeah, you make fun of the movie as you watch it.
If you're in the mood for kind of that, but I mean,
yeah,
Andrew, we're going to talk brass tacks here. I don't have much time left. You know, there are things out there that you should see. Why go for something that's like, keep it low on the list?
I'm not going to have a let's do a movie watching night and we're going to watch Snakes on a Plane. No,
no.
But if somebody invited me to that, I might show up.
A Snakes on a Plane viewing party? A Snakes on a Plane themed party? Now that would be an excellent theme for a child's birthday party, wouldn't you say?
You know what? Yeah, it would be great. No, okay. 20-year-old me would totally watch it with my college roommates. But today me would be like, if we start this after 8, I don't know.
My 20-year-old me would not see this movie in theaters. My later, I don't have anything to do right now, let me just see what's on the television, me. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just like, yeah, well, let me see what all this hype is about. But so I guess don't see it unless you like things that are campy and weird and don't expect anything other than just a fun time kind of movie.
Yeah.
Right. If there was ever a poisonous animal that was on a vehicle, I'm still going with platypus on a dirigible or maybe on a hovercraft. Platypus is on a hovercraft.
Platypuses.
Yeah.
They've got those venomous spikes.
It doesn't kill you. It just makes it really painful for like weeks.
Like, who did this?
It's Lord of the Flies. It's kind of like got that sort of thing where everyone's getting panicked, but they're also very irritable because they're all in pain from the platypus. Anyway,
I actually saw another airplane themed movie.
Oh yeah.
Airplanes, you know, play a part in the local like art house movie theater here in honor of Tina Turner's passing, played Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yes, we don't need another hero.
So, I mean, I saw that, and so there's some airplane action in there. It's kind of fun. It has like the thing, like there's the tribe of kids that, you know, they were on a plane that crashed in the desert, and they managed to survive while the grown-ups went off to try to find help, and They didn't find help because it was the apocalypse.
Right.
You know, then Max kind of discovers them, and it's like that little tribe of kids, like they're like the opposite of Lord of the Flies because they kind of have their shit together, whereas like the grown-ups,
they succeeded.
They succeeded. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to build a good world again, whereas over in Bartertown, it's all a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Mad Max. It was interesting because I was like, oh, yeah, the Bartertowns run on pig shit. There's a lot of pigs in this movie. George Miller went on to make Babe. And Babe, Pig in the City.
Coincidence?
And then he made Happy Feet. And then he went back to make another Mad Max movie.
Like, let's trace this here.
I've never seen Lorenzo's Oil.
Okay.
Maybe I should see that one, but...
You know an awful lot about directors.
I do. I mean, I like directors. I think...
Does this have anything to do when you worked at the movie theater?
I worked in the movie theater. Yeah, in college. Yeah, like between like 1993 and 96, I think I... Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, does
worked
that...
in a movie theater.
Does that have anything to do, or are you just like... Are you more into the making of the movies idea? Or more of the enjoying movies idea, personally?
Oh, what would I rather do? I like enjoying movies.
Okay.
But I did not go down the path of, I got to move to Hollywood and
right.
make this my life, because that just seemed overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I hear anybody tell stories about what it's like to work in Hollywood, I'm like, yep, that is overwhelming. So... I was right.
Correct decision.
But I do like certain directors,
mm-hmm.
and seeing how they do stuff. Right. And usually, you know, there's the ones that are just, you know, I'm doing a job, taking an assignment, and then there's the ones that are like, oh, this is the movie I want to make. And I am kind of interested in knowing a little bit about the creative process.
It shouldn't surprise me because you were really good at trivia on a lot of different subjects. So it makes sense that you would know a lot about a lot of different things, and movies being one of them.
Well, that's true. One of the things that we did back at the movie theater is this was back when the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's early form back before somebody went ahead and connected a search function to IMDb and figured out that everybody's within 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon. But
oh, really?
Just about. It's hard to get a Bacon number higher than 2.
I mean, like people or just actors? We're talking about actors. Yeah,
we're talking about actors and movies. Yeah,
because I have a Bacon number 2. The Bacon number is how many connections there are,
right? Yeah, so like if an actor was in a movie with Kevin Bacon, that's
they would have
one.
A Bacon number of 1. I've never been in a movie with Kevin Bacon. But
have you been in a restaurant with him? No. Yeah.
I made a double short dry cappuccino for Queen Latifah, who was in Beauty Shop with Kevin Bacon. So I have a Bacon number of 2.
Yeah.
Does it work that
yeah,
way?
Yeah, that works. I mean, I think so. I think you've got a lay Bacon number of 2. You're not in the industry, so you get the. I don't. Yeah.
I'm a layman. Yeah.
You're a layman. Yeah, I guess so.
I was in the process of doing work, so I was doing my work and then did something for. So yeah, okay, I gotcha.
I
tried tweeting that, and Kevin Bacon didn't reply. Neither did Queen Latifah, but whatever.
Yeah, I doubt it. They probably don't even look at their Twitters.
I guess my double short dry cappuccino wasn't one of her favorites of all time.
Mm.
Other movies? There are so many airplane movies out there. There's
so
many
airplane movies. There are too many. I realize I should have watched Con Air. That would have been a good one.
Oh, yeah. Con Air was excellent. It's got some good good one-liners. Like, why couldn't you just put the bunny back in the box?
Yeah. Just put the bunny back in the box.
Good cast, too, on that.
Yeah.
John Cusack was excellent.
I should watch that one again. That was a good one.
Call Meany yeah. is in it.
Call Meany. Chief O'Brien.
Yeah, Chief O'Brien. For people who don't know, whose car gets dragged behind an airplane. Sports car gets dragged behind an airplane.
Damn.
In the movie. It's like, that looks like my car. Yeah, Con Air is a good one. There's the obvious Top Gun. Could have watched that or the new. Did you ever watch the new Maverick one or no?
No.
I didn't either because I don't have much time left.
I guess there's Air Force One.
I
didn't watch that one.
Oh man, Air Force One. I love that movie.
I never saw it. I don't know why I never saw it.
Oh my gosh. I saw this on David Letterman. It's not Air Force One. It's called The Ass Kicking President.
The Ass Kicking President.
That's what it is. The Ass Kicking President.
See, that'd be worth watching. Yeah.
Yeah. Gary Oldman is the villain in it. He always plays excellent villains.
Mm.
It was a lot of fun. That was one of those movies where it was a lot of fun and I would recommend it. Glenn Close is the vice president. I mean, it's got a lot of good actors in it, too. So, did you ever play flight simulators when you were younger or get into a flight simulator or anything like that, or no?
Does a river raid count?
I don't think river raid counts, no. Atari 2600. By the way, fun fact, I had that Activision patch. I got that. I got the Activision patch for that one.
Nice.
Did you ever get any Activision patches?
Activision patches. No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know that now.
You know how they have now achievements that you can unlock?
Yeah.
Well, back in the Atari 2600 days, one of the things that they did was in their instruction manual, also a relic of the past, an instruction manual. What's that for?
Oh, yeah.
At the back, it said, if you get this score or higher, take a photo of it and send it to us, and we will send you this patch. So it's like an iron-on patch. And it was themed based on whatever game it was.
Sweet.
Yeah. I had Keystone Capers patch. I had River Raid. I had Space Shuttle, the Space Shuttle game. Did you ever play that? Speaking of airplanes, sort of Space Shuttle is sort of an airplane, I guess. It's an airplane half the time or, you know, when it's coming space down. Shuttle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's coming down. It's a boy. Did I? Oh, I can't remember if I played the space shuttle game or not.
It's such a ridiculous concept, especially on something like an Atari 2600, where it's a space shuttle simulator. So then they had to have all the little flip switches that they could be different things that you do, like the flaps and whatnot. It was very, very basic, but I did get that sucker down. I landed the space shuttle. That's all you had to do to get the patch. Shuttle. Actually, you had to land the space shuttle successfully. Because there's one of two outcomes that you get in that game. Either you land the space shuttle successfully or you crash the space shuttle. Those are the two things. But no flight simulator stuff for you.
I don't think so. I'm just trying to remember. I remember flight simulators being around. I might have tried one once. And it was
like, just not my bag. Just not my thing.
I think so. That is what happened.
There was a jet one. What was it called? Sega in the arcade. It was like a kind of like a Top Gun sort of game.
No, wait. I played one of those in the arcade. I remember something. It's cool. Afterburner?
Afterburner. You got it. You ever play Afterburner in the arcade?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At my arcade, they had a sit-down version that did the rotating and stuff. It was very high-tech.
Ooh.
You couldn't do the loop-de-loop. There was the urban legend that, you can make it so it actually goes around and does a loop. I was like, I don't think so.
Sounds like something eighth graders tell seventh graders.
Exactly. That's probably what it is. But yeah, there was that airplane game. There were a couple of other. It was more about combat plane games. You know, that were out. But then, of course, Microsoft's flight simulator is an actual landing an airplane. Mm-hmm. They get pretty detailed in it. And my brother, for a while there, like, I think during his college years, he had a fascination with Microsoft's flight simulator. Yeah, and I think there may have been a new one recently. But yeah, it gets really detailed as far as the way it looks and all that. Originally programmed for MS-DOS.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who are old enough to remember MS-DOS.
Oh, yeah.
First release date, November 1982, is what it says.
Yeah.
But that predates DOS, I thought. But anyway.
DOS. Got to put in the boot disk.
IBM PC-DOS was introduced in 81, so it's around the same time. You can get really detailed with the equipment as far as piloting a plane. You can get the flight stick. You can get the rotor. I mean, you can get all sorts of stuff, and it's really expensive. But I can see the appeal to that. Do you see the appeal to learning how to fly a plane?
I see the appeal.
So you never played anything other than just the arcade shooting River Raid-ish kind of?
River Raid. Yeah, I know. There was like one, what is it though? Was it, I want to say, was it called 1942?
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of 1942 games. Capcom has that license. Mm-hmm. And again, like 1942, 43, 44. I mean, seriously, they go, yeah. They just add a year. Those are what's referred to as shmups, which I think is...
Shmups?
Yeah. Shoot 'em up games.
Shoot 'em up, yeah.
I don't use that term. I just say side-scrolling shooter. But they're also referred to as bullet hell games.
Bullet hell. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because most of what you do during the game, it's less about the shooting and it's more about the dodging. Because yeah. They have all the complex patterns. And I do like those types of games. Yeah, that's a good one. Not being entirely video game savvy brought up an excellent one. 1942 and 90, that whole series.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, I remember that. See, I'm just like, remember, what were the ones that I used to play at the pizza place?
Yeah.
Back in the, yeah. Peter Piper Pizza. Come on over. Yeah.
One game I want to, before we close out with my final question for you about the word airplane, me wishing you a bon voyage and telling you what I'm going to do to celebrate while you are in Italy. The game that I want to talk about, this is part of my celebration of as you're going to Italy. I downloaded a game recently for the Mac. I haven't had a chance to play it. It's a game that you don't know if it was made as a joke or not.
Mm.
There are certain games like, I don't know if you know, Penn and Teller made a game that was basically a bus simulator, driving a bus cross country from Arizona to somewhere. And it was just desert. And it was a simulator because it was just the time it took. Every once in a while you get a bug hitting the window. And also the bus itself would slightly veer over to the left every once in a while. I mean, seriously, this game never came out for the system. I think it was a sequence of ridiculous Penn and Teller quote unquote games, but that's one of the ones that they made. And that's what I think of when I think of this game called Airplane Mode, which AMC Games has put out. Yes, AMC as in the movie channel.
Right.
I sent you the trailer. What did you think? Were you excited to play it?
Oh, man.
So that's a no?
Yeah. So it's like no.
Well, I mean, what do you think?
I don't know if I even watched the trailer, but...
Oh, okay. Well, essentially, the game itself is... I want to use play in air quotes because you play as the passenger of a real-time commercial flight across the Atlantic. That's what you do. You're in a plane. You get to watch the videos as far as the...
Yeah.
AMC sanctioned videos too, you know, like the old-timey... So yeah, you get to watch the presentation about the exits and there's turbulence. There's
if you're seated in a exit row, you have to verbally confirm you're willing to open the door.
I don't know because I haven't played the game. Maybe that's one of the secrets.
Yeah.
I have read that you can find a sleeping pill in your stuff and drink alcohol and shave an hour off the time. No, I'm not even joking. That's what I hear. You could do that. So it's a real time flight. So it simulates the 4 hours or 5 hours it takes to.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
Sounds exciting. Yeah.
And it's got, you know, like little games you can play while you're on the plane, but you can look out the window and because you're in a window seat. Oh boy.
Oh, window seat. Ooh.
You get the snacks. The snacks get distributed. You know, you got premium beverage service and it says right here and meal service, including fish option, which I don't know, man.
Don't have the fish. Don't have the fish.
If one thing watching Airplane and Zero Hour has taught me, don't have the fish.
Don't do the fish. No.
And don't accept any Lays. That's not anyway. Here's the other thing. The circumstances of your flight will change every time you play with random events such as turbulence, bad Wi-Fi, and delays.
Bad Wi-Fi.
So So what do you think of that as a game? I mean, it looks okay.
As a game?
It's more of an experience than a game, right?
Yeah.
So as you are flying to, and this is my promise to you, Andrew, as you're flying to Italy, I will be playing that game, which I've downloaded for my Mac. Oh, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see what it's all about, see what all the hype is all about.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this game when it came out.
Oh, okay.
They made a joke about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it came out, you know, back earlier in COVID when...
Well, you shouldn't take the planes. And then it was like...
You shouldn't take the planes. So it was like, so if you miss the experience of being a passenger on a plane...
On a commercial flight, here you go. That's what I will do to honor you going to Italy.
All right.
And then once you come back from Italy, we'll have a special show because I've got a game that I'm going to play that is Italy themed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It just went on sale, so I bought it. I hate the franchise, but I'm going to play it anyway. I
hate the franchise.
It's called Assassin's Creed, and you play as...
I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah, have you heard of Assassin's Creed?
I've heard of the franchise, yes. And so they all sort of take place at a different time or...
Time period. Most of them do. This is the one that takes place in Italy. I've tried playing the first one, and there's a little mechanic that bugged the crap out of me. You had to not arouse suspicion, so you had to slightly push people to the side as you were maneuvering through crowds. But you couldn't do it too much. It was just a dumb... It was just like,
yeah,
this is stupid. I threw down my controller and said, I'm not playing this. It's stupid. So
sounds stupid.
Yeah. But, I mean, in order to experience Italy with you, I'm going to play it.
You can play it.
And then we'll have our post-Italy, and we can tell each other about our experiences in Italy.
Huh? Okay. Well, yeah.
All right. So anyway, final thoughts. Instead of doing the final thoughts on the word airplane, what I'm going to do is something a little bit different. We're going to tell an airplane story from our personal life. So do you want to hear mine first, or do you want to do yours first? What do you want to do?
Go ahead and tell yours. Yeah.
My brother and I went to Pennsylvania and spent time with my grandmother. We had spent a lot of time out there. We spent like weeks and weeks and weeks, and we were very eager to go home. So we had to drive. It was a cheap ticket. She picked us up at the Cleveland airport, which is like hours and hours drive away. So she had to drop us off at the airport. What ended up happening was, there was a huge rainstorm right as we were getting in. And Adam and I are freaking out because we don't want to spend any more time in Pennsylvania with our grandmother. Bless her. So we're freaking out. And she tries to, and we're saying, we got to get to the plane. We got to get to the airplane. And she drives underneath one of these, you know, road things. And there's flooding underneath there.
Oh.
Yeah. And what ends up happening is she stalls her car in the flood. The car is stalled out underneath this bridge with a couple of other cars. Same thing. Water is seeping into the car. And Adam and I are freaking out. Not about that. Not being concerned with grandma and her car. No. We want to go home. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to get home. And we're getting out of the car. And then someone notices that you got two little kids who are freaking out about going home. They're out of the water. It's like, we can drop them off at the airport. It's fine. They seem like nice people, right? So they drop us off. We get our tickets. We go on the airplane. Our socks and shoes are soaked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those airplanes that have the hot towels.
Oh, the hot towels.
So we get our hot towels, right? We're on the airplane. The lady's really nice. We told her the story, whatever. We get the hot towels and we take off our shoes and socks and we put them on our feet because we wanted to warm up our feet.
Yeah.
So we did that with the hot towels. So they got very stinky kid feet, hot towel stuff. So that is my favorite airplane story that I can remember. That's basically a foul. People do take their shoes off in an airplane, which is kind of ridiculous. But
my question is, how do you reach your feet?
What do you mean? How do you reach your feet? With a towel?
On an airplane. No, I know how a kid reaches their feet. I mean, like grown-up people taking their shoes off in airplanes. How do you...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're wearing Crocs or something. Slip them
probably.
Off.
That's probably what it is. Yeah.
Crocs are barely shoes anyway.
Yeah. So what is your story to close out the show? Your airplane, your flying story.
Oh my God. how can I beat a flood? No.
you can't. It's not a contest.
No, it's not a contest. No, no. For our honeymoon, we went to Costa Rica.
Right.
And so the day that we're supposed to leave, we're flying on Delta, and
everyone's favorite airline, Delta.
It sure was that day. Cause that was in August, 2016. That was the day where their whole computer system went down.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. But they weren't really like admitting it or like telling people, like, you know, they just couldn't make things happen. Because okay. I think they didn't even know what was going on.
Right.
But all we got was like, first was like, oh, our flight, because like we were going to fly from Portland to Los Angeles and then connect to our flight to Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
And so the information we got was like, oh, our first flight is like delayed past where we will be able to make that second flight. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, and I was able to find a last minute booking on Southwest that would get us to LAX for reasonable and be in plenty of time for our original flight. That seemed like that would work. So so we did that, but little did we know that Delta was not going to have their stuff together, and that when we got there, there's this crazy ridiculous line. By the time we even got a chance to talk to a person, they're like, oh, well, you can't check in now because it's less than an hour till your flight time and it's an international flight and we can't do that. Yeah. And then, but the flight was delayed. But the computers, you know, their information said, well, it's too late. But so we and then Delta wasn't updating the information about the delays until like, you know, they're sending text messages, and then they finally sent one that was like, oh, your flight's been delayed till this time. And I was like, I've got 3 minutes to tell that lady to let us in.
Right.
So,
right.
So, and like, yeah, so I was flustered and in a rush and go through and, you know, when I get flustered and in a rush, sometimes my voice gets a little louder and I talk faster.
Okay.
And the woman was like, sir, I cannot help you if you're yelling at me. And I was like, oh, you're so right. So I calmed down, and then she helped us out and got us through. She was like, you're just going to have to gate check your bag. And so we.
Right, right.
She got us through quickly, got us through security, we got over to the gate. And then it was probably like another 4 hours before our plane left.
But you gotta be—you only an hour left. Only an jeez, man.
Yeah, I know. Like you can't. You know, we can't like check you in now because you're 2 minutes past this time. And like, what? And yeah,
you know what?
So it was insane.
If there's anything worse than hours and hours on an airplane, it's hours and hours in an airport. I think.
Oh yeah. And like there were so many, everybody in that Delta terminal was like there for hours and hours.
Yeah.
And it was getting later and later. Yeah. And
you could almost hear the pink ooze from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, just building up.
Building up.
Building up in the ducts. Yeah. The mood slime. Yeah. And that, I think somebody like started throwing punches.
Oh boy. Yeah.
But like I was like not really able to follow stuff. I was so exhausted. But then finally
you got there and everything was cool.
Yeah. I mean, we got to get on our airplane, and then I think it took a long time for us to be able to take off.
Right, right.
But then once we got there, everything was fine.
That's cool.
I don't remember anything about the flight. I don't remember anything after we sat in our seats. I think I just fell asleep. And then in the morning, we got there. And
yeah.
Yeah. My driver was like, you guys are so late. I was like, I don't know.
talk to Delta about that, because
I know.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, that's why do you lead with that? Anyway, okay, but yeah, that's your
story.
I think, you know, as far as anyone who's been on an airplane ever, probably has some sort of airport airline story. I mean, it's one of those things that I think is nearly universal.
Yeah, my big lesson from that was the woman telling me, sir, I can't help you if you're yelling at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was like that like moment of clarity. It was like, she said it so calmly and I was like, oh, you're so right.
Yep.
And I try to remember that.
Does her floating head ever appear on your shoulder saying, you know, I can't help you if you're no.
Sort of.
Yeah.
That's... on the other shoulder, it's not, I can all go to hell. No. On the other shoulder is the waiter from the Buena Vista. This was another trip. We went to, it was in San Francisco, and, you know, it was me and Catherine and Star, and we, it was around Christmas time, so of course everything was all busy. And
right.
We stopped at the Buena Vista Cafe, which is like the famous San Francisco place where supposedly they invented Irish coffee. You know, that's their claim to fame. I don't know. But so we went there.
Their claim to fame is the place where supposedly Irish coffee was invented.
Yeah. At least the American version of Irish coffee. Right. Yeah. But,
or as we call it in Ireland, coffee.
Coffee. Anyway, it's, yeah, it's coffee with booze and they light it on fire for a second. It's great.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we were there and it was a holiday rush and, you know, we were just having a nice time. Our waiter was, he was funny, but, you know, he gave us he comped us a dessert and he's like, you guys are just like the nicest family, the best customers I've had all day. The rest of them can burn in hell. Like, oh, okay. We were just being us.
You should have said this. You should have said, point them out to me. I'll see what I can do.
See what I can do. Yeah. So
that'll be your tip, man. I mean, keep a list. Keep a list.
So on my one shoulder, I was like, I'm the woman who's like, I can't help you if you're yelling at me. And the other one is the guy saying, the rest of them can burn in hell.
So you got your angel and devil covered. Yeah.
My angel and devil covered. Yeah. I got that now. I got that imagery forever now.
Which is nice.
That's good.
You know what? Thank you so much for joining us such short notice on this episode. I mean, you're leaving for Italy in 2 days, right? So
2 days. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk about airplane movies, basically. I think that's pretty much all we talk about was airplane movies and airplane video games. But
yeah,
there's a lot to talk about with airplanes. I think we should do an episode at some point on the word pilot, because that would encompass more things.
Yeah.
But in closing, one thing I wanted to say was one of my favorite quotes. This airplane quote is from a movie about submarines. So from Hunt for Red October, where Jack Ryan is on the airplane and he says, I can never sleep on the plane, turbulence. And then the flight attendant says, pardon? And he goes, turbulence, solar radiation heats the Earth's crust. Warm air rises, cool air descends, turbulence. I don't like that. So there you go. And on that note, thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Too Vague podcast. My name is Ben.
My name's Andrew.
And we've been your hosts. Have a wonderful night. Bye.
Vaya con Dios. Arrivederci.